The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is a day of celebration. It's the day of Pentecost, and it's known as the birthday of the church because it was on this day then that the disciples received the Holy Spirit, and they went out and they proclaimed the good news, the mighty acts and deeds of Jesus, and people believed and were baptized on this day. The story starts off that the disciples were in that upper room behind closed doors. It seems that that's where the disciples had been since Jesus rose from the dead. As our gospel lesson this morning, it starts the same way. The gospel lesson is from that Easter day, from the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And it's evening, and the disciples are there behind the closed doors, and they are locked. And Jesus comes in despite the fact that the doors are locked, and he says, "Peace be with you." And as that story continues then, on the following Sunday, the second Sunday after Easter, the disciples once again are behind the locked doors, and Jesus comes in once again and says, "Peace be with you." And now here today, as we read the story of Pentecost, the disciples are still in that room behind the closed doors. But this time, things change. What sounds like a mighty rush of wind comes in. It appears to have flames on top of the heads of the disciples. And they receive that Holy Spirit. And they do go out. And they proclaim that good news of Jesus Christ. They can no longer stay inside that closed door. They have to go out and do what the Holy Spirit has called them to do. We too have received that same Spirit. The Christian church was started on that day of Pentecost, and it was carried out through all the nations. The word spread, and it has been carried out and down through the generations and comes to us by the work of the Holy Spirit. We too have received that Holy Spirit. We receive that Spirit in our baptism. It is in our baptism that we are tied to the cross and to the resurrection. We receive that promise of eternal life, but we also receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. Today we also have the rite of confirmation, and confirmation is very much tied to baptism. It is in baptism that it is in confirmation that we affirm those vows or those promises that were taken in baptism. When y'all were baptized, when we were all baptized, our parents and our sponsors made promises for us because as infants or small children, we were too young to make those commitments ourselves. And let me read to you the promises that were made in baptism. In Christian love, you have presented these children for holy baptism. You should therefore faithfully bring them to the services of God's house and teach them the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments. As they grow in years, you should place in their hands the Holy Scriptures and provide for their instruction in the Christian faith, that living in the covenant of their baptism and in communion with the church, they may lead godly lives until the day of Jesus Christ. How many of y'all went through a formal confirmation class? Lutheran or maybe one of the other churches? Okay, quite a few of y'all have gone through that. did y'all study Luther's Small Catechism? Okay, how many of y'all had to memorize Luther's Small Catechism? Okay, how many of y'all also looked at hymns, studied hymns, or even had to memorize some? How about Bible verses? Okay, how many of y'all had to do service projects during confirmation? Anybody? I think that's probably one of the more modern things now that's going on. What else? How many of y'all had discussions with the pastor in confirmation? Okay, a few of y'all did that too as well. Confirmation class, these last 2 years, y'all remember what we've been studying? We studied Martin Luther's Small Catechism, and in that was the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, Holy Communion, Office of the Keys, and also confession. And what did we just say in our baptismal promises? That the parents should teach, parents and sponsors should teach them the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, Ten Commandments, and that they may grow up in years. So what confirmation program is doing, the confirmation program of the church, it is there to help the parents and the sponsors to fulfill their baptismal vows. And so now on this day where we have the rite of confirmation, it's y'all's turn to make the promises. Okay? And these are the promises that y'all will be making in a few moments. Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism? Once again, it's tied to baptism. To live among God's faithful people, to hear His word and share in His supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of our Lord Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. It's quite a list, quite a list. What you are promising to do, basically, is now during this rite of confirmation, you will be considered adults in this church. And what you are doing is you are saying, yes, my parents and my sponsors did the right thing in having me baptized and making these promises that I will learn and that I will continue to learn and that I will continue to be active and work in the church. During this rite of confirmation, we are saying, yes, I affirm these baptismal promises, but now I am becoming an adult and I am responsible for my faith life. However, you're not alone. You're not alone in continuing what you need to do as you continue on. Confirmation is not a graduation. Confirmation is the beginning of something new. It is a new leg in our journey of faith. Because now you have all the rights and responsibilities of any other adult here in this congregation. You have the right to speak. You have the right to vote. You can be on committees. You can be on council. You can be baptismal sponsors at this point. You become an adult. But you're not alone. You're not alone in all this. You continue to have the help of your parents and your family. You have the help of your sponsors. And you also have the help of this whole congregation who are gathered together. Because that's one of the purposes of us gathering together, is to support and lift up one another. But most all, you have that promise of the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you in your way of life. You may think, as we go through these confirmation vows, the things that you're promising to do, and you think, these are tough. It's a daunting list to be able or to have to do all these things. And the tendency is to think, well, I'm through now. I'm finished. I don't have to continue on. But that's not the truth. The truth is that God calls us to do ministry. He calls us to serve Him. Whether it is in the work of the church at the church, or whether it is speaking the word to those who do not understand Christianity, or whether it's helping other folks, whether it's through Bible studies, through learning, through teaching, maybe even ordained ministry. God may be calling you in that direction as well, too. But you have the help of everyone else. But still, it seems tough. And a tendency is then to start thinking, I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm too young. Or I'm too old. I don't know enough. I'm not wise enough. I don't have the skills to do that. But the Holy Spirit is with you to give you that guidance, to give you that support, to give you that energy to go and serve the Lord. Y'all remember the story of Balaam and his donkey? Some of you may remember that one. It's not one that we come across too often. It's in Numbers chapter 22. The Israelites the Hebrew people have just come into the land of Israel and are out of Egypt and are ready to claim it again, and they are settling the land, and there's the kingdom of Moab. And the king of Moab sees all of these Israelites and that they're undefeated, and the king of Moab becomes scared. And so he sends some of his emissaries to the land of Euphrates, because in the land of Euphrates there is a great seer or a prophet over there who can predict the future or who can give great advice. And so the king of Moab sends his emissaries to this seer, and the seer's name is Balaam. When the emissaries get there, Balaam says, give me a minute, let me hear what the gods have to say. And so as Balaam is off by himself, God actually comes to Balaam and says to Balaam, Balaam, I don't want you to go, because the people of Israel are a holy people. They are a blessed people. So I don't want you to go. So Balaam comes back out, tells the emissaries, no, I'm not going with you. The emissaries go back to the king in Moab and tell him what happened. The king in Moab is not satisfied. So he sends more emissaries and greater dignitaries, and he sends riches, treasures back to Balaam to get him to come to Moab. And once they get there, once again, Balaam says, give me a night to think about this, to pray about it. And sure enough, God speaks to him again and says, Balaam, I don't want you to go, but I'll let you make the decision. Well, Balaam decides to go. And so he saddles up his donkey and he goes towards Moab. On the way there, the donkey sees an angel of the Lord standing in the middle of the road, because, again, God is not happy with Balaam. God does not want Balaam to go. So an angel of the Lord with a burning sword stands in the middle of the road, and so the donkey veers off into the field. The only thing is, Balaam can't see the angel. Only the donkey can. And so Balaam starts to beat his donkey to get him back on the road. A little further on, the angel appears again in the middle of the road. This time it's a little bit more narrow space. There's a wall on one side. And the only way to get around the angel is to scrape that wall. And so Balaam thinks that donkey is trying to scrape him off of it. And so he beats the donkey again. Well, a little bit further up on the road, it's even more a narrow space. And there's no way that the donkey can get around the angel. And so the donkey just lays down. And Balaam starts to beat the donkey. But God puts words in the donkey's mouth. And the donkey speaks and says to Balaam, Balaam, why are you beating me? Can't you see that God does not want you to go to Moab? All these years I have served you well. I have not balked, but now you are beating me. Can't you see the angel of the Lord? And Balaam's eyes were open, and he was able to see the angel of the Lord. Now, I'm here to attest to the fact that God can speak through a donkey. And if God can speak through a donkey, God can speak through any of us. God can do wonderful and marvelous things through us, by that work of the Holy Spirit. In our second lesson today, St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, he has a list of many of the gifts, the various gifts that the Spirit does give. Spirit of wisdom, of teaching, faith, healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discernment, speaking in languages, interpreting languages. God gives many and various gifts, those gifts of the Spirit. We are not alone in working or doing what God calls us to do. It may be a scary task that God is calling us to go out there and to do, and we think we don't have the skills. But I tell you what, with the help and support of parents, or of other family members, of sponsors, of other congregational members, of other Christians, and by the help of God, we can do it. You may not know what your gifts are now. Maybe those gifts can change. Maybe those gifts will grow. But God can work through us. He has given us that blessed gift through baptism, that blessed gift of salvation, that we will live forever, and that we, as we live here on this earth, we have the opportunity to serve God always by the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.